Good afternoon, everyone. This is the time set for public hearing in ADKT 0619 regarding petition for adoption of rules governing informal family law trials. Welcome folks who are here in Carson City and those who are in Las Vegas as well. In this particular case, the petition that was filed in this case that initiated this administrative docket proceeding was filed by Justice Lee, who was heading up the Family Law Subcommittee of the Judicial Council of the State of Nevada. So I'm going to go ahead and see if Justice Lee would like to make some opening remarks. And after that, we'll take any public comment. We did get some written public comments that we solicited as well. For the anyone who speaks today, we'll be limiting any public speaker to 3 minutes for their remarks, and the clock, well, it's on my screen. I hope you guys can see it at Vegas as well. With that, let me turn it over to Justice Lee.
Thank you, Chief. Well, first I wanted to thank the hardworking members of the subcommittee of the JCSN who put this together. It was first proposed by Judge Gordon out of the 8th Judicial District, and then collaboratively with Judges Grossman, Hoskin, and Young, they put together a proposed informal trial rule that would allow litigants to take advantage of a more relaxed and informal process for adjudicating family law disputes. In our jurisdiction, we're not unlike any other jurisdiction where the vast majority of litigants who come into family court are self-represented. I can tell you, as a former practitioner who took pro bono cases in family law, it wasn't easy as someone coming from this, you know, purely civil side, navigating the complexities of the family court rules, of evidence, of procedure. It's daunting, even for experienced counsel who've gone to law school and taken the bar and practiced. So you can imagine how difficult that is for self-represented parties to navigate that system. And this idea of the informal trials was inspired by other state courts such as Oregon, Iowa, Arizona. I think there's about 8 state courts now that have adopted similar rules with great success. And my understanding, based on the judges I've spoken to in the family courts, mostly in the 8th and the 2nd, who have specific dockets dedicated to just family cases, it is really just parroting what is the reality of what's going on in those courts for self-represented parties. And or indigent parties already, where the courts have to really be involved in moving the case along. So the intent of these rules are really to kind of expand access to justice, to allow judges to focus more importantly on the evidence and the facts that are coming in, as opposed to having to wrangle through difficult procedural hurdles that the parties don't understand. I can't stress enough that this is an opt-in provision, and even if you have opted, and both parties have to consent, and even if at some point before trial, and it states specifically in the rules, you can still petition the court to get out of the informal trial program at any point in time. I believe we will be joined, or if we have not already been joined, by Judge Hoskin, who is, like I said, one of the subcommittee members who worked on this, and if anyone has any specific questions from the group here, I think he would probably be best suited to answer those, and I believe that he'll probably say a few words in any event. So we feel that this is a good thing for our courts. Anything that we can do to help move cases along, particularly in the family court setting where quite frankly, there's a large volume of cases, not unlike other parts of our courts, but particularly in the family court. So, again, I just want to thank the subcommittee and for the JCSN for allowing us to be a subcommittee of that group. We were just kind of a, I don't know what you call it, a wayward working group, if you will. So to be able to get the support of the JCSN was also very critical in shepherding this forward. So with that, I'll pass it back to Chief. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Justice Lee. And thanks to all those members of the subcommittee who I know worked very hard, met multiple times going through this and reviewed the proposed rules that we have before us today. So at this time, it's time to take any public comment, anyone who wishes to speak. And again, each speaker will be limited to the 3 minutes. Do we have anyone here in Carson City wishing to speak? Council, why don't you step on up then? And please start by stating your name for the record.
Long time no see, Justices. My name is Melvin Grimes. I am a member of the Robert Stoffel Family Law Group. We are a family law group in the 8th Judicial District primarily. We're located in Las Vegas, and we have 6 attorneys who practice primarily in family law. We reviewed this proposed change, and we would ask you to not adopt. The reason is, and I think the reason I was here earlier in the day is a prime example. This leads to an incomplete record when it has to go up on appeal. That would be my personal biggest concern, is that now you've got an appeal coming and the record may or may not be complete. And that is very concerning to me, with the ability to raise whether or not issues were properly brought at the court below. The other issue that our group of lawyers raised, and I will simply put it out there, is we feel like it would lower the value of what we do. As lawyers, we work our, you all know this, we work very hard. And to now make it an informal process where rules of evidence are relaxed, and while I agree with the opening statement that even many of those practicing who went to law school, that class on rules of evidence didn't really teach you the rules of evidence. It takes years of hard work. I'm sitting here looking at a bench that at least 3 of you have put me through the wringers at the district court level on rules of evidence. So with that, I think it devalues what we do. I also think it raises issues for issues of appeal. And so with that, I'll submit, and again, I would simply ask on my behalf that the court reject these rules. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else here in Carson City wishing to speak? Sure, ma'am, why don't you come forward, and if you would start by stating your name for the record. What's your name, ma'am?
Hello.
There are tissues on the table, if that might be helpful. Oh, sure. Would you like to wait? I can come back to you. Sure. Okay. All right. Anyone else in Carson City wishing to speak? Seeing none. What about in Las Vegas? Is there anyone wishing to speak today? All right. Please come forward and start by stating your name.
Yeah. My name's Robert W. Luke, bar number 1489. I've been in the legal business in Las Vegas for 50 years as of August 1st of this year, and I've spent 6 years as a family court judge from 1999 to 2004, and I was working on dispute resolution system design since then. And I've maintained that study and activity for many years since then, including several hours at the Judicial College, presenting at seminars, attending organizations like the AFCC and ABA, Family Dispute Councils, and so forth. The problem is the adversary system is the most expensive and the most inefficient system. This proposal will do nothing whatsoever to alleviate the court caseloads in Las Vegas. It's wishful thinking. It will only continue to clog the cases, because now if they put some of these smaller cases on the calendars, but you're taking a day away from regular trial schedules. It won't work, and it still takes judicial time and energy to process the cases, set the trials, conduct the trials, and make the appropriate findings and conclusions. So it's not really efficient, or it's not really effective. I have attended lots of conferences over the past years. There are better alternatives, much better alternatives than that, to what they're doing here. One is the differentiated case management program that the AFCC and Executive Director Peter Salem did, setting up a way to differentiate between the cases in the state of Connecticut. That would like to, I think that should be given serious consideration. So a lot of these smaller cases can be diverted out to mediation. Second thing is, there's a process called early neutral evaluation, which is used extensively by the courts in Minnesota, originated in Hennepin County, the Twin Cities, back around 2006. And in a conference I attended in 2009, a judge spoke there and said the settlement rate's about 74% and so forth. It's averaging still about 70%. It's now widespread in Minnesota, and it's been copied and implemented in Colorado as well. There's also the Uniform Family Law Arbitration Act, which has been promulgated by the Uniform Commission in 2016. It's been enacted in a number of states just this year, and it should be something that you could consider. Right now, Nevada law prohibits arbitration of domestic cases. If your courts are really serious about finding ways to manage these caseloads and serve the
Mr.
public
Luke,
better.
Yeah. That was the end of your 3 minutes.
Yeah. All right. I submitted testimony. If you're serious about this, use the Family Dispute Resolution Process and Practice book, which was just published this April. It'll tell you more than anything about how to handle case, all the different ideas for our case processing. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We did receive your public written comments. Thank you for those. Is there anyone else in Las Vegas wishing to speak at today's hearing? Okay. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Justices. My name is Stephanie McDonald. I am with the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada. I'm the directing attorney of the Family Law Self-Help Center here in the 8th Judicial District Court, and I'm here to speak in favor of the petition before you. I'd like to thank Justice Lee and the Family Law Subcommittee of the Judicial Council for bringing this petition. I also want to give a special thanks to Judge Gregory Gordon, who really ushered this through every level. I know he really wanted to be here today, but he's out of the country and seemingly was unable to participate. We've provided written comment that lays out the many reasons we're in support of this, but I just sort of want to paint a picture for you of a typical self-represented litigant who comes into our center at family court. For the past 10 years, my team and I have been assisting in all levels of self-represented litigant issues in family court. But I will tell you the most dreaded question that we get when somebody comes in is, how do I prepare for trial? It is simply not something that can be explained quickly or easily. While we have lots of information, we have lots of forms, we do our best to explain the process. Legal Aid has a trial preparation class that we encourage people to attend. It's just not enough, and it will never be enough to help people understand the many, many layers of what it takes to prepare for trial. So we highly encourage adoption of this petition because it ultimately puts the matter in the hands of the judge, who can ultimately make a decision on the merits rather than having to navigate through procedural errors and barriers that may prevent them from getting to a proper conclusion for families in need. I do want to take a couple of moments to take to acknowledge the thoughtful comments actually provided by Robert Luke. Although he's opposed to this petition, I'm actually in support of a lot of the other things he has to say. I do believe family court is in need of many innovative reforms, case triaging, early case evaluation, mediation offered at more levels within the court. There are lots and lots of things that our courts could be doing to make access to justice a simpler matter for those who don't have attorneys. And as for concerns from the private bar, I want to stress again, it was stressed initially, this is an opt-in program for attorneys who want to continue to litigate the way they always have. This rule changes absolutely nothing for them. They can continue to litigate under the traditional rules. If a party doesn't want to use the informal rules, the court is not permitted to use it. So this is really designed for those high volume of self-represented litigant cases that ultimately really need that extra help. So thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Justice. Charles Hoskin, District Court Judge in the Family Division in Clark County. I apologize for not wearing a jacket. I wasn't planning on addressing the court today. I just think that since I was on the committee and there were some issues that were raised, I do want to at least touch on those issues and provide an opportunity for the Supreme Court to ask any questions they may have with regard to this. With regard to Mr. Grimes' comments, I would disagree that it creates an incomplete record because the rule requires that everything come into evidence and the court consider everything with regard to that. So probably a more complete record than those self-represented litigants that don't know how to get a piece of evidence into evidence. So I would disagree, at least on that portion of it. I don't believe it cheapens the practice of law because the practice of law with pro per litigants in front of a court is slightly different by definition than that when you have seasoned attorneys. As far as Mr. Luke's comments, certainly I echo what Ms. McDonald said with regard to a lot of changes that need to have happened, and that's part of the committee. The ongoing nature of the committee is to consider those. So certainly I'm happy to take any information from Mr. Luke on what he'd like us to consider and propose in the future, but I'm not sure that changes the reality of what it is we're trying to do with this little piece of the family division to get us to that point, and we're happy to work on that. But essentially, this will reduce caseloads because currently I set everything on a minimum of a 3-hour setting. And if I'm doing an informal trial setting, I can likely put 3 cases in that same 3-hour setting. So that will reduce the caseload. That will increase access to justice, allow people to have more access to the court quicker. And given the amount of hearings that we're now required to have on almost every issue, we need that extra time. And I believe this will provide us with some of that time. I'm happy to answer any questions the court may have with regard to this, if anybody has any.
Thanks, Judge. Did any of my colleagues have any questions for Judge Hoskin?
I've got one question.
Sure.
Assuming the court looks favorably on these rules, are you proposing that they go into effect, or are you proposing a pilot program for these rules?
It's interesting that you raised that that issue because we dealt with that specifically in the committee in getting us to that point, and we felt perhaps we should start with a pilot to get to that. The reason that we didn't is because so many states have already implemented it and had success with it. We thought we could probably implement it, if not statewide, at least second and eighth to initiate it. And because it's opt-in and completely voluntary, we thought that would probably ease us into it as well. But we are not opposed to running a pilot program if the court deems that you want more information to see how this works in this state. We're not opposed.
And these rules that we have now, these were crafted somewhat along what Oregon was doing?
I believe that Judge Gordon, I wish he was here, utilized what Oregon and Idaho did and sort of combined those to get us where you see the rules that are proposed today.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Questions for Judge Hoskin? No. All right. Thank you for being here today
and
for taking questions.
Certainly.
Anyone else in Vegas wishing to speak today? I'm not seeing anyone come forward. Okay. All right. Ma'am, here in Carson City, did you want to come up and address us today? I want to give you that opportunity if that's what you would like.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Because, all right. My name is Rochelle Mazzano, and I was here last on May 8th, the swearing in. I was here for the swearing in. Why? I needed an attorney, and I couldn't get one. So I came here, and I want to tell you the best attorney Nevada is ever going to see, who's already licensed in not one, not two, but three other states, making Nevada his fourth state to be a licensed attorney. He accepted my case, thank God. How lucky was I to find an attorney who isn't new, but only new to Nevada. I went to court. But this was only after winning an appeal for a set aside for lack of jurisdiction when the judge denied a set aside for lack of jurisdiction. I had to pay for the privilege to win at the Court of Appeals, a set aside for the assets that were divided equally without any dollar value assigned to one asset, not two assets, not three assets, no assets had a dollar sign. How do you divide anything equally without looking at a dollar sign? That was a default granted without jurisdiction. I had to appeal it. Now I owe $750,000. I went from getting this in my divorce, which was divided equally and seemed fair in the judge's words, to owing my husband $750,000 and having paid two attorneys flat rate fees to help me. I am out over $150,000 on those fees alone, on top of what I had to pay to appeal my $750,000 judgment that I am now being harassed with. I think simple divorces would be a good thing, but I think it starts with an honorable judge who knows what equal access is to the court, and it starts with ADA and the acknowledgement of it and the understanding of it, and the judges should have a bench guide for working with unrepresented litigants. My judge didn't have a bench guide. She didn't know how to help me, or she didn't want to help me, because she sure as heck didn't help me. When I told her I knew she used her influence to represent, to have a judge, an attorney represent her husband in her divorce, the next day I owed my husband $750,000 because I didn't hire that judge who told, that attorney who told me this judge used her influence so that he would represent her husband in her divorce. Well, they struck that from the record.
Ma'am.
Thank you.
Can you spell your last name for me?
Is my time up?
Yes.
Thank you. Mazzano, M-E-Z-Z-A-N-O. My first name is Rochelle, R-O-C-H-E-L-L-E. And that attorney's name you're never going to want to forget, Andrew Switlick, SW. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else in either location who wishes to speak that we haven't heard from yet? Do any of my colleagues wish to make any statements or ask any questions of anyone while we're still here in court?
No, just I wanted to thank all of the participants for your comments. That's why we have them. You know, when you exist in a subcommittee, sometimes you don't get the larger perspective. So I appreciate your candor today, and we'll certainly take all of your comments under advisement.
Thank you, Justice Lee. With that.